For our Bible time lesson to Matthew chapter 5, okay, we'll be looking at how to love our enemies today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48, okay, we'll be reading responsively. I'll read verse 43, you read verse 44, and so on until verse 48. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, the Bible read, "Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Verse 44. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. 46. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Verse 48 together. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come this morning to hear your precious word, spoken, Father, from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, these are important words that will teach us what it means to live with other people. And sometimes, Lord, when the going gets tough in our relationships, what principles do we need in our lives? Lord, we may not be the enemy, but there may be other situations or people may deem us as the enemy. Lord, I pray that for you who came from heaven with love into a hostile world, you taught us how to love and what to do. Today, we pray that you teach us what it means to love our enemies and what it means to obey you, Lord, in this principle. So we thank you. We pray for the one person who may need or some who may need to understand what it means, Lord, to deal with someone who is hostile. I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will teach us today that we'll go out here, go out of this place, knowing more of what it means to be like Christ and how we should respond. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I pray for the chapel upstairs as well, for the little children, that they, in their lives, will have the Word of God taught as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is called the Beatitudes, all right? The Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, it is chapter 5, 6, and 7. In it, the Lord Jesus Christ took a lot of the Old Testament teachings, and then taught it to the, teach it to the people. The Old Testament gave the law of God to the children of Israel to teach them and us that there is no way to God. The Old Testament law was given, to us to show us that we will never be good enough to attain unto God's holiness, unto God's standard. And that's something that, as believers, we have to understand. Some people in this world believe that by keeping the law, okay, by keeping the law means you have to do everything that the Bible says, and therefore you go to heaven. That's not what it means. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. It's printed in the bulletin. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. The Bible says, I'll just read. You just follow along and you listen. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident the just shall live by faith." Now Paul in the book of Galatians says, if you were to follow the Old Testament Mosaic law, you will find that you cannot continue therein. That means that in order to be perfect, you need to, every moment, every second, be doing the right thing based on the law. That's what it means. And it is not possible. Example, the Old Testament book of Proverbs says the thought of foolishness is sin. The moment you think something foolish, that's a sin. Or maybe you think about that, maybe as you're walking along the road and then you look at someone, oh, you're so clumsy. Did you know that that's a sin? That you actually curse someone or you actually will judge someone. All right? That in itself is a sin, and we are perverse in our hearts. Okay? And so Paul is saying, if you try to live your life according to the law, you fail. The law was given to show us that we can never keep the law. Okay? So, if we can't get salvation by the law, there must be another way. Which is the way? For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you and I, if you have trusted Christ, you're not going to heaven by your own works. You're only going to heaven by the works of Christ at the cross only. All right? And no one can boast before the Lord. The Lord, I did this, I did that. No, it's all Christ, all of grace, okay? So if we try to live and attain by our salvation by doing good works or trying to please God through the good works, we are on our way to hell. If you're trying to say, oh, I'm a good Christian, I give money to the church, I serve all that, I'm depending on this to get me to heaven, you're on your way to hell. Okay? By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Titus 3 verse 5 is also in your verse there. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. It's not according to what you have done or what I have done. According to God's mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Okay, that's very clear. I just want to give you an introduction before we go into the Matthew 5 now. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ came in the New Testament, though, He did not come to give us the law. But it is a very interesting separation when Jesus Christ came in the New Testament. He came out to give us grace and truth. The Bible says in John chapter 1, 17, the law was given by Moses. The law was given by Moses. The law that tells us that we can never attain unto the holiness of God was given by Moses. It is to tell us that we can never get to heaven by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And this is important. The law tells us how to do what we need to do to stay out of trouble with God. Actually, the law is in Singapore. How do you not get fined? You follow the law. Okay? Cross at the proper place. Don't do jaywalking. Don't anyhow park. You know? Now it's amazing. The amount of CCTV. Singapore is full of CCTVs everywhere. Yeah, everywhere. All right? Okay. So that basically, if you keep the law, you're fine. If you don't keep the law, you're fine. Like, if you keep the law, you're fine. If you don't keep the law, you're fined. That's a good one, sorry. But you know, the law tells us what we need to do to stay out of trouble. Truth. God's truth. Teach us how to live and please God. Big difference. Many times law in our minds say, I must do this, I must do this, I must do this, then I'm a good Christian. No, Jesus came to bring us truth. Truth is something that you need to put into your hearts so that it influences you as to how to live. Okay, in Matthew chapter 5, as the Lord Jesus teach the laws, He brings out the law of God that is taught by the rabbis. And I'm going to highlight this, very interesting. He's going to bring out the law of God taught by the rabbis, but He's going to teach the truth that God wants us to hear. Okay? I just heard one message by a very prominent preacher in Singapore, very big congregation, and he said, no, the law said an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And he was just expounding how we need to, the fact that it's in the context of personal relationships. Actually, it's not in the context of personal relationships. It's actually under the legal system of the Jewish law. Okay? But in this situation, what Jesus was going to do, He was going to bring the laws that the rabbis taught to teach them what God actually meant by those. Okay? And so, in line with what we have been doing over the last few weeks, we're looking at love of God and its implication in relationships. Today we're going to look at, you know, we talk about how to love each other, we talk about fish love, and now we're going to talk about how to love our enemies, because Jesus mentioned that. Okay? Today, we're going to look at that, the applications in our relationships. I want to give you four truths. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. I'll just read that first. Four truths of how do I love my enemies. Matthew 5:43, the Bible says, "Ye have heard that he had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Jesus said, "You have heard." This is what the rabbis taught. Love your neighbors, hate your enemies. Okay? Now, if you look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, which you have there, all right, printed in Leviticus 19:18, notice what Moses said in the law. Okay? "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." It's interesting, as I read this, you know, in the Old Testament law, we're not supposed to take revenge. We're not supposed to even hold a grudge against someone else. Let me ask you a personal question. Do you have any grudge against anyone? If you have, you've broken the Mosaic law. Okay? God says you're not to hold a grudge against a person, but you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the last four words is important. I am the Lord. You know what it means? I'm the authority in your life. In other words, you may say, "God, you don't know what he did to me. You know, I want to hold a grudge against him." No, God says, "I am the Lord. I'm in charge of your life." If you're a Christian, you need to take full note of "I am the Lord." "I'm the Lord" means I'm the one in charge of your life. I'm the one to teach you how to live your life. You're not to avenge, you're not to bear grudges. But interestingly, if you read this verse, versus Matthew 5:43, the rabbis taught you will love your neighbors and hate your enemies. Is it the same as Leviticus 19:18? No. The rabbis taught the people you will love those who love you and hate those who hate you. That is not taught. So when the Lord Jesus was telling the people how to live, he was saying, "You guys have been taught this." Do you know in Singapore, a lot of people do this? You know how? "Hey, that guy, bad guy, yeah, he say bad about you. Really? Well, then I think I better stay away from him, man. How dare him?" Yeah, that's how it's done in Singapore. You are taught subtly. Those people who say bad things about you, better stay away from him. He's not a good friend. You need to hate your enemies. Yes? You know, this is a practical application of what Jesus, because the rabbis taught that during that time, you are to love those who love you and hate those who hate. This is something that even as Christians we can fall into. Whenever someone said something bad about you, you get angry, you get offended. So what do you do? First truth, I'll just go on first. The Pharisees taught that an enemy is someone, okay, the definition of enemy is someone who hates another person and wishes him injury or attempts to injure him to gratify himself. In other words, "I don't like you, I want you to get hurt so that I'll be happy." How many of you have seen other children or whatever? Yeah, fall down, yeah. You're very happy. And of course, the other person don't like him. Then after they start fighting, right? Right? Because you got to do one to them first. Okay, so they start to, that's an enemy. Okay? By definition, an enemy is someone who intends to harm you or injure you. By definition, that's an enemy. In wartime, we fight, we have to kill one another, otherwise, for our country, okay? So an enemy is someone who wants to injure you. We can injure a person in two ways, by intentional actions or by withholding good. I say again, by intentional action or by withholding good. By withholding good. Okay? Intentional action is pretty obvious. I hurt you, I trip you. Now, how many of you, I don't know whether it happens in the classes today, that if you don't like someone, you put your leg up and he trips and falls. Does this happen today? No? Yes? Does this still happen today? You just trip. So it happened in my time. I was quite big last time. Someone tripped me. I fall. And of course, you get angry at the person, you know. So that's intentional action. But you know, according to the Bible, you can also hurt someone by withholding the good that the person needs. All right? The Bible says, let me just read a few. Proverbs 3, verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it's your power in your hand to do so, to do it. Proverbs 11, 26. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. So in these two verses, we see God actually says, don't hold back the good that someone else needs. You know what? That means you're actually so-called starving that person or hurting that person. You may not want to be an enemy, but by your action, you are saying, I don't like you, and I'm hurting you. It's interesting also, do you realize the Lord Jesus Christ is very intentional in his work? In other words, when he do good, he does it. He actually, for example, when God says to love one another as I've loved you, he is saying your love needs to be active. It's not just what you say. Let us love in deed and in truth. This is 1 John chapter 4. We need to love with actions, okay? So when we don't do that, the withholding actually hurts the other person. Parents, Proverbs 23, verse 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. I say this because sometimes parents choose not to, for whatever reason, correct the child. Now, when we don't correct the child by the rod, according to the scriptures, you are actually hating your child. Did you know that? If you love your child, you will chasten him. But if you don't love your child, you will not discipline him. When I talk about discipline, it's not just telling the child, oh, hey, you cannot do that, no. Nowadays, a lot of parents in this mode of talking to your child. That's not a problem. But does the child understand, number one? Number two, God actually imposed that we as parents are given the authority to discipline the child when they are young. Okay? Children may not understand all the logic of a particular behavior, but they do understand pain. And God is giving that as a little glimpse of hell from the beginning, that as they grow up and they control themselves, they begin to understand why they need to behave in a certain way. Does that make sense? God actually says here, withhold not correction from the child. For if you will beat them with the rod, he shall not die. Not sure, oh, you don't hit me, I'm going to die already, I'm in pain, I'm in pain. I've heard my children, I've seen also, I've heard other children say, I don't go there, don't hit me, I'm in pain. And then parents melt and say, okay, I'm not going to spank you, next time cannot like that, okay. You know what the child has learned if you do that? He has learned that when the spanking is coming, I just shout and scream, mom will relent. You know what you're doing? You're spoiling your child. Next time when the child grows up, he's not going to listen to you. And God says that if you do that to your child, you hate your child. Now, I'm not saying abuse your child. Some parents give it to the child to the point that it's really bad. But you know what? Discipline your child so that you're giving what is good. Okay? So now, coming back to this, truth number one, based on Matthew 4:23, hatred for someone has no place in a Christian's life. Hatred for someone has no place in the Christian life. I'm not saying that you sometimes may not like this person because of the way he does certain things, but to hate him to the point of hurting him has no place in the Christian's life. Does that make sense? Okay? How many of you know of some Christians who really hate someone? And they would actually actively do things or withhold things to hurt that person. If you do that, your prayers will never be answered as a Christian. Okay? Because that is sin. Hatred for someone else should never has no place in the life of a Christian. All right, moving on. Truth number two. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. We are to love those who are our enemies. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Jesus initially, 43, said, you have heard, love your neighbors, hate your enemies. Jesus says, no, love your enemies. The Lord Jesus is putting it higher. In the Old Testament, it says, don't avenge, don't bear grudges, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus up the level. No, I'm telling you, love your enemies. You know how hard is it to do that? But that is what God says. Now, let's define that a little bit, okay? Now, when you say love your enemies, is someone in your workplace, in the home, I hope not, in the home, or who actually does things to injure you. Who actually say things to injure you, your reputation, or something. That's, by definition, your enemy. He may not want to kill you, but he may want to hurt you in some way. That's your enemy. That's the definition by which Jesus... In the context of Romans 5, remember the Jewish people were a conquered people under the Romans. The Romans will actually get the Jews to basically humiliate them. All right? The Romans could actually come and look at the Jew and slap the face. Kind of like the Japanese when he was in Singapore. Okay? You better bow, otherwise I'll chop off your head or something. You know? The Roman, the slap. You know what Jesus says? Those who slap you on the right cheek, do what? Give your left. No, Jesus was preaching that kind of truth to Jews who suffer that day in, day out under the Romans. If someone asks you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Basically, the Roman soldiers would say, hey, you Jew, carry my things for me, and the Jew is supposed to follow for 1 mile. You know what Jesus says? No, don't just 1 mile, go the second one. You know what God is trying to teach these people? Look, God is not asking us to live just in the flesh. He wants to grow us in our hearts so that we can learn to live the way God lives. And so here he says, no, I'm not just asking you, you need to love your enemies. Those people who want to hurt you, I need you to love them. Okay, let's have a how many of you can actually do that? Don't have to put up your hand. It is not natural for us to love our enemies. How many of you have ever in your heart said, Pastor, don't have to tell me, okay, but you have actually, people have done something bad to you and you really feel angry and do it back to you. Not like do one to him before he do one to you. People who hurt us, we want to naturally hurt back. That's the natural human tendency. That's what the rabbis taught. And what Jesus says, no, you love your enemies. There are many reasons why Jesus said that, but we won't go into that. But let's look at how we are to love our enemies, because that's what Jesus taught. He said, this includes those who actively want to hurt you. This also includes those who refuse to help you when you need. So how do we love this? Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 21. How do we love our enemies? How do we love someone as a Christian when someone wants to hurt you? And it could be a non-believer, it could even be a believer, sadly. Okay, I hope not. You know, Paul was teaching in Romans 21. Let's read together. Right? Some of you have that already. Let's read it. 1, 2, go. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay? How do we love our enemies? Overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil. What does it mean? When someone do wrong to you, you get so consumed, you get so overcome with the wrong done to you, you say, no, I must fight back. No, that is wrong. I need my rights, you know. No, today is everyone's rights. He has no right to talk to me like that, or she has no right to say that to me, or whatever. You know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that ought never to cross our mind. I take that back. It will cross your mind, but you need to bring it under the control of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I'm thinking this, but Lord, you taught me to love my enemies. You need to bring this thought of wanting to fight back under the control of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because the Bible teaches, don't be overcome of evil. Don't allow the tendency to fight back to control you. But do what? Overcome evil with good. God actually gives a way out. God actually teaches how to actually overcome it, How? By doing what is good, all right? Jesus taught that in Matthew chapter 5. Okay, let's look at that, 44. He says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you." In other words, if he wishes you the worst, you wish him the best. If he asks you to go to hell, you say, "I wish you go to heaven." Bless those that curse you. Bless those that curse you. Those people who say you're the most lousy person in the world, that picked up from the trash can type of person, and say, "I thank God you're such a wonderful person." Can you do that? But that's what Jesus said. Bless those that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. The word "do good" has the idea of doing something that's beneficial to someone else when he actually hates your guts. He hates you to the point that he will say bad things about you, he will malign you, he will hurt your reputation by saying all kinds. But you know what? On the other hand, you actually do good to him. Well, let's look at Romans chapter 12. This is what Paul taught. Okay, Romans chapter 12, let me just read. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself." This in line with the Old Testament, and now it's in the New Testament. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath." What does that mean? That verse simply means, don't fight for yourself. Don't take revenge. Give place unto wrath. That simply means, let God do his work. Because God says here, "Because it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." When you say give place to wrath, it simply means, I can fight back, but I choose not to. I let God deal with him there. Does that make sense? Give place, let God deal with him for the wrong that he's done. For me, I obey God. Can I say this? Humanly, we have every right to fight back, or we think we have every right to fight back. If you are a Christian, Jesus teaches you, you have no right to fight back. Jesus wants us to take our one thing to fight back and put it under the Holy Spirit's control and to overcome it with good. Does that make sense? But Brother Johnny, that's not possible. It's not possible if you're living in the flesh. You want to fight back. But if you let the Holy Spirit control you, say, "God, it's so painful what the person did. But I obey you first, Lord. You taught me to be kind to him. I will." It is illogical. It's illogical. It's unreasonable. It is, to some people, absolutely stupid. Where God, people punch you in the eye, then you just buy him chicken rice later on because he's hungry. Doesn't make sense. But that is what Jesus taught. You know how Jesus taught us? When he was crucified, he said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." That was what he was doing, and that's what he taught us. So he goes on to say, Romans chapter 12 and verse 20, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger," notice, if your enemy is hungry, basically if your enemy have a need, "feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou heap coals of fire upon his head, and then be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, Christians, sometimes in a workplace, at home, even outside, you may have friends and all that. People may say things, do things that may be against you. Humanly, it's so easy to fight back. The Lord Jesus Christ, if we are a Christian, says, "No, I don't want us to be like the world." Amen. It's so easy to fight back. Just be like the world, just fight back. But you know what Jesus says? "No, I want you to take that attitude and put it under the control of God and his word." In fact, God just taught us what to do. Do the right, meet the needs. One of the things I was taught, not that people say a lot of bad things about me, but usually when I know that this person is maybe not so happy about me, or whatever, I say, "Hi, how are you?" And then buy a coffee for the person. Put his table, and I just for you, and then just walk off. I mean, firstly, you must know that the person drink coffee. Otherwise, he becomes treated as, "Well, why are you trying to irritate me again? I like tea, only you give me coffee. Okay, make sure you know." But you know, if you are giving, it's very hard to fight against someone who gives you something. Do you realize God wants us to overcome the sins of this world? sometimes in someone who don't have the strength, by us doing good to help them. It's very easy to want to stand up for our rights. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us, put your rights under the cross. Let me teach you how to live so that that person can see Christ. I can tell you, you can't do it in your own strength. You need Christ. Absolutely, you need Christ. And that's why you need a heart of submission to God. All right? Do good to them that hate you, and then pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Despitefully use you, now abuse you. Okay? They persecute you, they do bad things to hurt you. Pray for them. What do you pray for them? Our Savior prayed to God to forgive them. Our Savior on the cross prayed, and Stephen prayed. Remember when Stephen in Acts chapter 7 was stoned to death? He told God, lay not this sin to their charge. That was the prayer. In other words, God, please help them to know that they're wrong, and God save them. Lay not this sin to their charge. When we pray for them, it is always for God to bless them. Do you realize that no matter how bad the Roman soldiers crucified Jesus, Jesus still wants them saved? Amen? God is not willing that any should perish. Do you realize one of the Roman centurions said, truly this was the Son of God? One of them actually said at the end of the whole crucifixion, he said, hey guys, I've crucified so many people. This is my interjection. Probably at the end he says, look, of all the things that happened I've never seen, he must be a righteous man. That through the Lord Jesus Christ's words and the way he suffered and the patient submission to the cross, a Roman centurion, have no knowledge of God, this guy, truly this was the Son of God. I don't know, I hope I'll see him in heaven. But God wants all of us to be like that. You know why? God has given all of us the Holy Spirit. And yes, we are all still controlled sometimes by our flesh. And say, well, we just want to give one to him, you know, when he does that. But you know, God says, do good to them. Let the mind of vengeance, the mind of wanting to fight back, say, God, I really want to fight back. I really cannot tahan this person anymore. He's too much, Lord. You know, Lord Jesus just said, put it at the cross. I paid for that. And obey me, because I'm your master now. If you trusted Christ, he's your master now. And he said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. As a Christian, our job is to obey the Lord, even when we don't feel like it. Okay? That's truth number two. We need our to love those who are enemies. And number three, truth number three, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, notice that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Truth number three, by doing so, by loving your enemies, we become more and more like the Heavenly Father, the children of the Heavenly Father, and become less and less like the world. Because that ye may be the children of your Father, love your enemies so that you can be the children of the Father, so that you can truly have the evidence in your life that maybe at a workplace you may have a boss that always takes advantage of you, but you just do your best and still make sure his bosses like him. You still make sure the profit is coming. You still make sure you do your best for him. And say, hey, actually, I... So that we can be the children of the Most High. You know, our character as a Christian is only tested when we have bosses and people who are really hard to live with and work with. But you know what? God wants us to be like him. Okay? Here, Jesus is saying, if you love your enemies so that you can become like the children of the Most High, the children of God, Christians who love Jesus will listen to him, even though we find it very hard to listen to him in situations like this, especially when people are wanting to hurt us. But you know what? The more we listen to God, we can reach these people as well, and we become the children of God. That's why it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, let me just read there. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. And then Luke says, because God is also kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Did you know you're not a Christian? If you're not a Christian today, God is still kind to you. You know how I know you're still alive today? You're still alive today. The fact that you're still alive Because God holds life and death in His hand. You had your breakfast, right? You know what? The water that goes into your coffee comes from God. There are some places in this world are facing drought. I know. I understand in the Philippines. I was talking to some Filipino brethren how the temperatures have been very high. The rains. They're facing drought. They can't have the water to grow their crops. You know, even rain comes. The drinks that you have comes from God, and God is kind to us. You know, this whole world fights against God. If you don't trust Jesus as your Savior, that doesn't mean God still don't care for your needs. God wants us to be like Him in that respect as Christians. That even when a person is evil toward us, we will still be good towards that person. You know, it's interesting because when we serve God on that level, it's no longer about us. It's about that person. It's no longer about us. When we serve God on that level of being good, of doing kindness to that person, we are not asking for anything except to be like Christ and obeying Christ. And can I say this? When you do good to your enemies, you may not get anything back. You may not get anything back. But you know, one thing you have is that you're obedient to our Heavenly Father. Okay, you're obedient to our Heavenly Father. To love is to live like Christ. To love is to live like Christ. Truth number four and the last one. Loving, okay, this is interesting because in the last verse 46, 47, 48, Matthew chapter 5. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? So you're no different from the world if you do that. But in verse 48, it says, be therefore perfect. The word perfect has the idea of mature, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Loving our enemies is part of God's training for us. It's part of the whole package of training that God gives us in different aspects of our lives. And one of the places in our relationship with each other, let's put it this way, in this world we will definitely have people who will grind us, rub us off the wrong way, you know? But you know, it's part of our training. And Jesus had people who loved Him. And Jesus had people who wanted to kill Him. How did Jesus treat those people? How did Jesus treat Judas Iscariot? That's amazing to me. Jesus still called Judas Iscariot friend. He still called Judas Iscariot friend. Betrayest thou me with a kiss. The Lord Jesus Christ taught us what it meant to be forgiving and loving. Loving our enemies is part of God's training for us as an individual. You are never going to have everyone who will agree with you, and you will never have anyone who actually won't fight you or won't want to intend hurt to you. I'm thankful. I'm sure we are all nice people, so we don't have many enemies, I hope. Okay, I hope. But if you do as a Christian, and maybe you're going through some things in your life, I don't know. But God wants us to be trained to be like Christ, and that is to love our enemies. Okay? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, let me just read. Whoso keepeth His word, whoso obeyeth Him, or obeyeth God's word, in him verily is the love of God mature or perfected. Hereby know we that are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walk. Few points from here. Firstly, John says in chapter 2, verse 5, if you keep God's word, how do we mature God's love in our life? Is to obey God. I cannot get past this. I hope you all understand. Obedience to God's word is an absolute importance in your growth as a Christian. If you're a Christian, obedience, even when you don't think you want to, even though you don't feel like it, obedience is a very important principle in spiritual growth. I think I mentioned before, a little child cannot learn to write his name if he will not follow what the teacher tells him to do. Write the dot to dot, and then after that, dot and cross, and finally write his own name. Sometimes children don't like to write, and they struggle, they fight, but if they will obey, they will learn to write. Christians, get this, obedience is so important for us. And when Jesus says to love our enemies, He means it. Okay? He says, but if you obey me, God's love is actually matured in you. God's love is matured in you. Hereby know we that in him. That means through that, through obedience and God's love growing in us, it shows that we are Christians. Okay? He that saith he abideth in him, if you say you're a Christian, you will love your enemies. That's what he's saying. He that abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. If you say you're a Christian, you ought to walk the way Jesus walked. And the way Jesus walked was he loved his enemies. Okay? I'm still thankful that I hope we don't have many enemies. But you know, if you do have an evident character of your Christian life, is that you're able to love that person who hate you. Because it's part of your spiritual training as a Christian that God gives to us. Okay? For truth, hatred should have no part in the Christian's life. Number two, we are to love our enemies. Number three, once we do that, love and we become more and more like the Heavenly Father. And number four, loving our enemies is part of God's training for us. So do you have anyone in your life that you absolutely hate now? Or you cannot stand? You know, can I say this? Your prayers, if you have and you are saying, Brother Johnny, I know God says to love my enemies, but I cannot stand this person, your prayers will never be answered. But if you say, God, you help me, forgive me for not loving this person, I'm a Christian, I want to obey you, Lord, help me to do that. Alright? Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I don't know what you are doing in the lives of your people. It's a short message about loving our enemies. There could be some people who there may be certain things in their hearts, Lord, that they have to deal with. Lord, you taught us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48, to love our enemies. It's always easy to love our neighbors who love us, Lord. In fact, we need to love our brethren more. But Father, to love our enemies is going to be a high order. So I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will guide us. Your Holy Spirit will teach us what it means, Lord, to love our enemies. With our eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask this question. There's someone who said, Pastor, you hit a raw nerve in my life. I need you to pray that God will help me to obey him. Is there someone like that? Amen. I see that hand already. Is there someone in your life that said, is there something that I really need to deal with about loving our enemies? Is there someone like that? Yes. Amen. I see that hand. We need to be honest. No sense hiding. I'm just praying for you. There's nothing I can do to get that hurt out of you. Only Jesus can. But you need to submit to him. There's someone like someone else. Lord, Pastor Johnny, there's this guy or this girl or whatever that's happened in the past. I just can't get it out. I need you. I need God to help me in. And I understand I need to obey him. Is there someone like that? Anyone else? Amen. I see that then. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for all these believers who have honest with you and honest with me as pastor too. And I'm praying for them, Lord. There is no way I can get that hurt out or teach them to forgive, only you can. I pray that they will be in submission to the Holy Spirit. You help them to love their enemies. Help them, Father, to put out the offenses with forgiveness and then, Lord, to actively do something, Lord, that will help the situation. Lord, thank you for the honesty of your children, and I believe that you have something for them. Help them to overcome, Lord, evil with good. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do even as we sing the closing hymn. Channels of blessing, I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will teach us what it means to be a channel of blessing simply by overcoming evil with good. Well, thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.